You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
So here we are. Praise God. We're winners, not losers. I said we're winners, not losers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't put up with garbage from the devil. Hallelujah. Serve notice on him, he's defeated. Hallelujah. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. Glory to God. We have all power and all authority in heaven and on earth because Jesus Christ is living in us. Amen. You have authority to cast out devils. You have authority to decree this church as a cancer-free zone. Amen. He says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Amen. So why aren't we doing it? I'm talking about Australia now, you understand. Hallelujah. And, you know, we need to understand we're living in a new day. We're living in a new day. God's raising up a new breed of Christians, a new breed of preachers. Hallelujah. Who are going to regain their warrior spirit. We've been lovey-dovey too long. Hallelujah. We've got to rediscover our warrior spirit. The Lord said to me, too late to be saying nice Christian prayers. Got to get into warrior warfare prayer. Apostolic warrior warfare prayer. And he said, stop singing nice songs, nice choruses that you like in church and get into warrior, apostolic warrior warfare praise and worship. Listen, folks, there's a war on. And God's raising up now an end time finishing generation. Hallelujah. And it's you. Praise God. You're raising up a finishing generation who are sick and tired of powerless church services. You're allowed to get excited in church when I'm here. But when you get excited, notify your face. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I've got a mischievous spirit. And don't pray for me. I don't want to be delivered from it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I like having fun in church. Amen. Amen. If you're not having fun in church, you better get saved. Hallelujah. The days of long-faced Christians are over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Days of Christians who are just surviving are over. God's now raising up a mighty conquering end-time generation. It's going to see the restoration of the manifested presence and the manifested glory of God of such a dimension that it's going to trigger a massive release of the harvest, and it's already happening. I'm telling you, Pastor and his wife, by the way, we honour these two very highly in Australia. We hold them in very high honour. And it's no accident God's taken them there, and it's no accident they'll be coming back. Amen. So get used to it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You think you want to keep your pastor at home all his life? I've got news for you. It's all bad. Hallelujah. All right. So God's raising up now this end time generation. We've got one of our pastors in Global Apostolic Network, of which I'm president, founder and president. He's just come back from Lower Sudan. And in Sudan there's been the most ghastly butchery of women and children and babies and expectant mothers, mainly by the Muslims. Absolutely vile stuff that can't be very easily talked about in mixed company. And one of our men has just come back from Lower Sudan, which is the newest nation on earth. He had 100,000 decisions for Christ and 4 raised from the dead. And massive signs and wonders and miracles in every service. And it's starting to happen now all over the world. And the president has rung him in Australia, asked him to go back and pray for the new government and help them set up the whole new government to operate on kingdom principles. Amen. And this has happened. I've been invited by the president of Vanuatu. To go back to Vanuatu, we had our conference. Well, we didn't. This part of the we didn't. I was having a holiday in hospital. Hallelujah. But the president opened our conference. The prime minister closed it. And it impacted the whole government. And all the churches in the whole nation came together in unity, including the Catholics. Massive unity that I have never, ever seen in 57 years as an ordained ministry. Ordained minister.
I don't know if Dr. Budge is going to say this, but they put up a memorial, and he's still alive, with a big plaque in his name, and the prime minister was there honoring him. And of course, they thought he was going to be there at Vanuatu. It was a historic event.
Yep.
And Pastor Jerry Cox was there. Of course, Julene was there. But they've set up a stone there with a big bronze-looking plaque with Apostle. I think they put Apostle Garnet Budge on there for evangelizing and making an impact on that nation. And when the prime minister of a country does that, that's just awesome.
Amen. So we're beginning to see enormous, the Holy Ghost now doing enormous things. And it is a matter of extreme urgency that we as Spirit-filled people rediscover an intimate, personal, practical, daily relationship with the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a doctrine. He's the third person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. And he's here as the governor of the kingdom with all the authority of the king. And he's appointed you as an ambassador under his governorship. That you might move in mighty apostolic signs and wonders and miracles before Jesus comes. Because the kingdoms of this world are about to become the kingdoms of this of our God and of his Christ, and we shall reign on the earth. I'm not wanting to be controversial, but listen, forget about all this escapist mentality. Why are we so hung up about heaven? God says you're going to be ruling and reigning on the earth. If you died tonight and you're going on with God, let me tell you something. There's nowhere else for you to go except heaven. Hell doesn't want you. So get real. Let's get real, folks. It's about here and now. It's about the manifested glory. It's about the Jesus Christ and his end time, mighty end time army, taking back the kingdoms which the devil has stolen from Adam. But the Adamic lease is now running out. Time is running out real fast. And the return of Jesus is right at the door. We're going to see the whole body of Christ moving again. Those who will hear in here. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that has eyes to see, let him see what God is doing in the spirit realm right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this has nothing to do with my message. And I've got 20 minutes. My daughter's sitting up the back and saying, what a hopeless miracle that'll be. Never heard my father preach for 20 minutes in his life. Glory to Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I've got about 2,000 things saying, Garnet, talk about me. And because of all these things that I've been sharing with you, I want to share with you the dealings of God in the life of Peter. Because it's very important for you and me right now. God's now raising up heart people, not head people. We've been head people long enough. Let me tell you something. Information about the Bible never changed anybody. Only revelation changes people. Information about the Bible is here. Revelation is here. Hallelujah. All right. Everybody got Luke chapter 5 and verse 1? Good. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Nets, notice that? Yeah. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. Yeah. Notice that? Yeah. Nets, plural. Yeah. More than one in Australia. Let down the nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And we are professional fishermen, and you are not, you're only a carpenter. Get real. We know very well there are no fish here. We are professionals. I'm just putting it into Australian for you. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.
Yeah.
Singular.
Right.
That is not what Jesus said.
That's good.
Listen, if you're going to move into this new move of God, and I believe and see in the Spirit there's a mantle on this church that's going to be increasing rapidly.
Praise God.
I'm speaking by apostolic authority now. Hallelujah. We have got to give minute obedience to the Word of God.
Yes.
Without doubting, without debate, without rationalizing.
That's right.
Never mind whether I understand it or not. I've just got to be dumb enough to do it.
Yeah.
One thing I've found out with my lightning quick brain, if you're just dumb enough to do what Jesus says, you get His kind of results.
Yes, you do. Yes, you
do. Do it your way and you'll get your kind.
Yeah.
And they're not real good. And when they'd done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Serves them right. If you give God partial obedience, that's what happens. You get a partial harvest. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that now both boats began to sink. Now they're about to lose their boats as well as their net. How silly can you be? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Doesn't it sound spiritual? Marvelous, isn't it, how spiritual we get when we haven't done what Jesus said and now things are going wrong. Saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they'd taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. From now on, you will catch men. In other words, the Holy Ghost is now lifting us to another realm. He was trying to lift birth Peter up to another level. Because he was wanting to birth him into apostolic revelation. One of the things we've missed in the early church is the only generation that turned their whole generation upside down for Jesus Christ. But now we, as the finishing generation, are going to do it again. And we are going to experience something they didn't experience. Jesus said, "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." That has never been fulfilled in church history yet. We're about to see it fulfilled. You're going to have an end time finishing apostolic generation who are going to move in greater signs and wonders and miracles than Jesus did. How many want to be part of it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I've had a prophetic word. I'll be preaching in Singapore when I'm 90. Glory to Jesus. I'm now looking to find out who's the pastor. I want to develop a relationship with him now. Hallelujah. So here we are, see, Jesus was preaching and the crowd was pushing him back into the lake, and I've been there, seen the exact spot where it happened in Israel. And so he said, can I borrow your boat? And he preached from the boat. Then he said, righto, because the laborer is worthy of his hire, I've taken up all your time, Peter.
Yep.
I'm going to reward you.
That's right.
throw some nets out. I'm about to give you a harvest. And he used that good Australian scripture, no way, Jose. Hallelujah. Don't give me that stuff, he said. I'm a professional. I've been doing this from my youth. I know this. We know this lake back. I and all my partners. We own this whole fishing business. We've been doing it for years. We are a successful fishing business. And there are no fish here where you want me to put these nets over, and it is very hard work. Let me tell you, when I was a young fellow on the beach at the Gold Coast, the fishermen used to bring their nets in onto the beach, and we'd go down and help them pull their nets in. It was very heavy work. And then they were so good, we were so excited, because when they'd finished, they'd give us all this fish. But of course, they'd give us all the fish they couldn't sell, because they were too small or something. Yeah. We'd take all this fish home, but it was very, very hard work. And they caught such a haul of fish that both boats had to call their partners. Now both boats are beginning to sink because they're full. That's a lot of fish. These are not small boats. Hallelujah. And so, you know, Peter, with his super spiritual attitude, says, well, you know, Lord, because it's you, I'll let a net over the side. Won't work, folks. Whatever Jesus and the Word tells you to do, do it meticulously with all your heart without question. I said to the doctors, I will be in America in July. I'm in America every June, July or August or somewhere around there, because I don't tell them that I come over here to get out of our winter. I'd be spiritual and say I'm going to a missions conference. Now, super spiritual stuff won't hack the pace. God's looking for real people, heart people, not head people anymore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So they bring in all this fish. And Jesus said, Peter, and Peter gets very spiritual now. Marvellous, isn't it? We're good at it, aren't we? Particularly in Australia. And he gets real good at it. Gets all spiritual. But you know, Jesus is not fooled. He's looking for heart people like David. He said, David is a man after my own heart. But listen, David was a killing machine. King David. He was a killing machine. He was a warrior. Saul's killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. I mean, that's a lot of blood being shed. But he was a warrior for God. Hallelujah. So now God's raising up a warrior generation. Hallelujah. But Jesus is dealing with Peter. And so he said, come on, Peter, come and follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Men are better fish than fish out of the water. But some men, of course, are a bit like fishes out of water anyway. Hallelujah. Peter made a very big mistake. He followed Jesus, but he did not cut his bridges. Did you hear me? He did not cut his bridges to his fishing friends, to his fishing business, to his fishing boats, to his fishing equipment, to his fishing prosperity. He kept it in case of a rainy day. And whatever area, when Jesus puts his hand on you and you don't cut your bridges to the past and reckon yourself dead to them, it's only a matter of time till they're going to bring you undone. And Peter doesn't know that he's heading into a very serious time because he did not cut his bridges right here, it's going to bring him radically undone. So turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 20. I've got 9 minutes. I've got to be quick. Get your pen ready, because I'm going to want you to write some things in your Bible. Your Bible is not an ornament, it's a tool. When it gets all messed up, go buy yourself another one. I've got a whole shelf full of Bibles at home, all underlined and notes written all through them and scribbled everywhere. And I've just bought another one while I've been over here. Glory to God. Where am I going to read from? Well, John, did I say 21? Try 21. I knew there was something wrong. Now, after these things, Jesus showed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and this is the way he showed him. After what things? After Jesus has risen from the dead. After Mary has gone to the tomb and found it empty. After Peter and John go to the tomb and also find it empty. And Peter doesn't really believe it. He's having trouble with it. Amen. Hallelujah. So Peter saw the tomb empty after Jesus appeared to them in the way. After Jesus appeared to 500 brethren at once. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were together. Listen now. The unbuilt bridge is about to bring him undone. Jesus said, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with supernatural power for supernatural service against a supernatural enemy. Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. That which he has not cut off in his heart is about to bring him undone. And this is also after Peter has denied that he even knew Jesus with cursing and swearing.
That's right.
Three times. Hallelujah. After he confronted Jesus and tried to turn him away from the cross. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. You think that would have showed him that something was wrong, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. And because Peter is a natural-born leader, he's about to lead them all the wrong way. Peter said, I'm going fishing, and they said to him, we're going with you also. When leaders make tragically wrong decisions, they're going to impact other people, and particularly other leaders. And they went out immediately and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Jesus has got a great sense of humour. But when the morning had come, and Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know it was Jesus, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Let me tell you something. Professional fishermen have got foul mouths. And if they've come in after fishing all night and have caught no fish, you better keep right away. Have you any food? They said, no. And don't even go there. And he said to them, cast the net. What did he say last time? Nets. As I said, that which Peter has not dealt with in his heart, the bridges to the past that he has not cut, the things he has not died to, are about now to bring him undone. Cast the net, singular, on the right side of the boat and you shall find some. So this time Peter didn't argue. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. John was a heart man. Hallelujah. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. That's spiritual, isn't it? Lovely. Pastors would want 100 of these guys in their church, particularly if they like problems. But the other disciple came in the little boat. The little boat. For they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they'd come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." The result of your obedience, Peter. Did you get it? The result of your unquestioning obedience this time, Peter. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. Boy, I wouldn't mind a day's fishing like that at your pastor's lake. And although there were so many, the net was not broken this time, because obedience will get you prosperity.
That's good.
Obedience will ensure that Jesus can give you the whole harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. But you see, they'd just come in from fishing all night, catching nothing. So first he feeds them and calms them and settles them down round a nice warm fire. Hallelujah. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Hallelujah. Jesus is now serving those who should have been serving him. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, all calmed down and settled and nice and warmed and filled, Jesus says to Simon Peter, all Peter's chickens are about to come home to roost. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now let me tell you something. We have a problem here. Because in the English language we have one word for love.
Right.
In the Greek there are four.
Right.
Agape love, the God kind of love, which will pay any price to bring you into your destiny. Phileo, natural, human, emotional-based, feelings-based love, which won't handle the strain when the rubber hits the road, if it's too uncomfortable.
Right.
Then storge, which is brotherly love. Then the last one is eros, erotic love, which is never, ever used in the Bible.
Right.
Erotic love is sex-based, self-gratifying love, which uses people for its own gratification. Now, I want you to write these words in. Hallelujah. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love agape me?"
Right.
Write agape in your Bible, or if you're taking notes. "Do you love me with the God kind of love, which will leave the throne, lay aside all its glory, endure all the floggings and scourgings, endure the anguish of a cross to redeem a people that he loves? Do you agape me, Peter, more than these fishermen, more than this fishing business, more than these fishing boats, more than the fishing prophets?" Hallelujah.
Yep.
And he says, "Yes, Lord." What an idiot. He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." Was that what Jesus said?
No.
No. Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." That was not what Jesus said. "You know that I love you with a deep human of a deep, deeper love of a sincere friend. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, all right then, feed my lambs, Bosco. Bosco my lambs as a hireling who's only in it for what he gets out of it. As a hireling who won't lay down his life for the sheep. As a hireling who'll run off and leave them if it gets too tough. Bosco, right, Bosco there. Hallelujah. Then he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, why is he doing it a second time? Because Peter has denied him three times. Do you agape me, Peter? Right in agape. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, do you love me with a God kind of love that will pay any price to redeem those that it's helping? He said, you know that I love you with a sincere human friendship. It won't hack the pace when you've got to lay down your life.
Yeah.
Do you know there are 130,000 Christians being martyred in the earth right now every year? We need to wake up, folks, there's a war on. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so Jesus now changes the word to try to lift Peter to another level. He said, Peter, poimen, not Bosco, poimen, shepherd my sheep. As a shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep. As a shepherd who will do anything to protect them, anything to provide for them, no matter what the cost. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah. Now Jesus changes the word. Simon, do you really even phileo me? Haven't you wakened up yet? Your phileo love has caused you to deny me with cursing and swearing three times. Your phileo love has caused you to follow me afar off when the priests took me round to the high priest's house. Haven't you learned anything yet, Peter, that your natural human feeling-based, emotional-based love won't hack the pace when the crunch comes? Do you phileo me with the deep human affection of a sincere friend? Peter was grieved. Now listen, this is not just a nice story. God is now talking to us and saying, I need a new breed of Christians.
Yeah.
I need a new breed of leaders. I need a new breed of pastors. Hallelujah. And he said to him, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And Jesus said to him, all right, Peter, if that's the best you can come up with, then feed Bosco my sheep as a hireling who won't pay the price, who's only in it for what he gets out of it, who wants a God who's a glorified Father Christmas, who wants a God who's a glorified sugar daddy, who wants a God who'll just give me a nice bless me club so I can go to church and everything's for me, nice pastor for me, nice praise and worship for me, nice preaching for me, nice program for my kids, nice message so that I can prosper and get more money. Now I'm talking about the Pacific, don't you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Most assuredly, I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wish. Listen, Peter was a natural-born leader. He was a natural-born fighter. You don't argue with somebody like Peter unless you want to get your teeth knocked down your throat. Hallelujah. You girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, Peter, you will stretch forth your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Hallelujah. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he has spoken this, he said, follow me. Follow me. My time's run out. I'm already 5 minutes over. But let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. God is now looking for heart people. Who will give total, unquestioning obedience to Christ and the Word of God without debate. Amen. Whether we understand or not. Who are going to be unashamedly passionate lovers of Jesus. Don't care what they look like, they sound like, whether anybody likes it or not. I'm all for Jesus and I don't care what the cost. We're passionate lovers of the Holy Spirit. We're determined to have an intimacy with the Holy Ghost as the governor of the kingdom so that we can be the mighty end time apostolic church that he's looking for before Jesus comes. Amen. Who are going to take nations and change governments. Speak into government leaders. Speak into economic situations. God's giving you lead time to learn to live out of the economy of the kingdom of light instead of the economy of the kingdom of darkness out there. Amen. Amen. The economy of the kingdom of lights operates on the principle of giving and receiving and sowing and reaping. That economy out there, folks, is going to get worse and worse. This is not being negative. It's in the book. Hallelujah. But God's going to have an end time generation who are flowing in rivers of apostolic finance. Not so we can have more houses and more cars and more boats, but so that we've got all the resources we need to take the kingdom. Right. Let me tell you something. If your pastor got $3 million tomorrow,
yeah, come on. $3 million.
He won't have any trouble knowing what to do with it for the kingdom of God.
Right. Right.
Hallelujah. Get the buildings finished and get the job done in the nations.
Right.
Amen. And so we're going to be speaking into governments and rulers and city leaders and banks before we're much older. Hallelujah. They're going to be coming to us because they're already right now crying out for answers. Hallelujah. So we better get ready and make sure we have some. And so God is now saying, will you be my agape love people? Will you be my people in whom I'm dwelling? I'm bringing my love into you. I'm not relying on your natural human affection-based love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we need to talk like it and think like it and act like it and rejoice like it and praise God like it and love each other like it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We need to be an end-time generation who are radiating unconditional love and acceptance first to each other and then to the unsaved out there. So the unsaved know that we love them unconditionally, but we're not going to put up with their behavior. We have authority over Satan and all their behavior. Hallelujah. And this society in Wills Point, Texas is going to change. Hallelujah. And the government is going to change. And the economy is going to change. And we will decree things and they will be established. Hallelujah.